Hey there, this is Fish and Frank, and we got another Radio Fish coming for you. Radio Fish and registered trademark of Fish and Frank's. Yes, it is. It's a real trademark.
It's real registered now, huh?
Yeah, I own it. I also own Fish and Frank and Fish and Frank's. I have registered trademarks and all my stuff now.
Good to have it covered, right?
Well, you know, you never know. I just thought about that. I haven't even said anything to anybody, but I just got all the notices back. Hey, it belongs to me now. So, I gotta let one guy in the internet know, yes, you can use this, been doing it a long time. No one else. I'm not gonna stop anybody who's been doing something, but sorry, no more. We're the last of the bunch.
Hey, you gotta do it.
So, anyway, let's see. Captain Tim Johnson, Real Reaper Charters.
I'm going to hire you as my spokesperson.
As you're walking across the darkened harbor, and it comes up, it's the Real Reaper.
You're hired.
Yeah, that's right.
Everybody's got to have a radio voice. You got it covered.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I've been doing this since I was little.
Yeah?
No, I think I was on stage the first time at, I was young, seventh grade or something like that, and did all that stuff. And acting and all the rest of the goofy stuff and musician, but
well, that we've always all said you're quite a character, so now I know why.
Yes, I'm part of the local color, they tell me.
Yes, local flavor. Yep.
Yes,
definitely.
I am definitely part of the local color. As it goes on, you've been doing a lot of tarpon trips, Captain Tim.
We have. It's been a really good season for us so far, starting out, and I'm hoping it continues. I mean, despite the wind that we've had, and you know, it's unusual for this time of year.
May is the new April.
It sure seems that way. It seems like everything's kind of like 30 days, you know, back this year.
But
from bait to wind to weather to.
But Robert and I were talking about that. It was 60 some degrees in the morning.
Yeah.
What? It's May. It's supposed to be like, wake up, go outside. It's already warm.
Exactly.
You know, you got a jacket on in the morning, and you know, by 7-8 o'clock, you know, you're peeling the jacket off.
I had packed my jacket, my sweatshirts, my shoes that don't have all the toes in them, you know.
Yeah.
And now I've had to put a sweatshirt on, you know, the last three mornings running out.
Oh yeah, when you're leaving in the morning, Florida has the coldest 60 degrees on the planet. There was nowhere else I've ever been where it's 60 degrees and you take off and to go off across the harbor in a boat, you're standing at the dock, oh, it's gorgeous, it's beautiful, this is wonderful. Then you get on that boat and about a half a mile later, you're wishing.
Yeah, 60 degrees and wet.
You would pay $100 for a sleeping bag at that point.
Absolutely.
So, all right, you're out there doing tarpon. Now, what kind of tarpon are you fishing? Are you doing? You doing anything in any of the passes? Captiva, Gasparilla, Boca, anything like that?
To be honest, you know, lately the fish have not been in the pass until late in the afternoon. You know, so we've been pretty much doing a lot of live bait. You know, up on the hill, up in towards the harbor, some off the beaches. You know, down towards the pass, wherever the water's moving rapid.
Now, you just did kind of the tarpon maps, and your best spot was, you know, kind of inside of the intercoastal, through the straits there, from Mondongo over towards Patricio, Mondongo area, all the way over towards Bull Bay, and that. Now, what do? Put the trolling motor down and just go looking for the fish?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, the fish have been easy to see. I mean, they're changing the color of the water. They're so thick right now. I mean, you can see a dark ball, you know, 200 yards off. And, you know, we'll get up next to the fish, put trolling motor down, and pretty much haven't had to run the big motor, you know, unless we hook up and have to navigate quickly, then we'll start the big motor. But we've been able to do most of it just on the trolling motor.
So, now, just kind of, we have a big audience. Literally, there's somewhere between 10,000 and 20,000 people listen to this goofy show. Why, I don't know, but thank you very much for doing it. You know, I mean, we all know what an idiot I am. I'm just glad you guys haven't figured it out. But they haven't been on one of these. They're in England right now. We've got a couple hundred listeners in England, and they're sitting there. It's kind of foggy, and they're having that kind of day. And just, okay, you get out there, you pick your customers up, and now you guys are on the boat. And you're out there, you got the blue-green water, it's just getting daylight out, everything's going on. What do you do? Do you explain, how do you find the tarpon?
I mean, you know, before the sun comes up, I mean, as it's starting to come up, you know, I rely a lot on my electronics to show me what's down there. We know the general area that they were in, you know, at this time yesterday, or where they've been hanging out for the majority of the time. And that's the first place we start looking. And, you know, if we find them on sonar, or we find them on side imaging, which, you know, side imaging has definitely changed the game. I mean, before, unless you were right on top of them, you didn't see them.
Right.
You know, now, I can scan up to 200 feet out each side of the boat. So it cuts your search time in half. Easy.
Right. It's amazing. But now your eyes are still your best tarpon.
Absolutely.
Finder.
We're looking for the roll. You know, we're looking for that fish to break the water.
Now, to me, it's kind of like Sesame Street. You're looking for one thing that's not quite like the other ones.
Exactly. Something that's out of place.
Right. You're seeing the waves go through, and there is no pattern or magic seventh waves, but they all have the same basic look. But now what you've got to find is a wave, because it almost looks like a little wave, but it has a little more silver in it, a little more white, and it doesn't look like the other ones.
Right.
And that's learning to read that language of the waves is tough, because everything kind of looks the same, and all of a sudden, oop, there it goes, and you're going, there's a tarpon, and you're going, where, I didn't see it.
Yeah, it is constantly scanning the water, you know, looking for that one anomaly that's different than everything else. I mean, it's no different than, you know, when you're out there looking for bait and they're not busting the water. You're looking for, a different travel path of a current of a water, which tells you they're right below it.
Right.
You know, same difference, just a lot bigger scale.
Learning to read, it's like learning to read a language. When I first learned how to read German or reading Spanish, it was really tough because all the letters were there. They just didn't mean anything.
Right.
And once you understand it, and all of a sudden everything kind of falls into place, and you learn what each one of these little things on the water mean. And that's the hard part about it. So you're out there, you're kind of going along slow with the big motor, got the trolling motor down, and you're just kind of scanning. Now all of a sudden you see a dark thing in the water, you see a fish roll. What happens next?
I mean, we try to figure out which direction, first of all. I mean, if it's a group of fish, which direction they are moving to. Try to get in front of them. Try to present your bait, your lure.
Now, to get in front of them, what you do is you have to make the decision. Do I stay on the electric, or am I going to fire the big boat up, try and go way around the outside of them? Because you can't go right to them with the power. If you start the outboard, you've got to make a big kind of semicircle and get in front of them, kind of ambush point.
It depends on really how fast they're moving. I mean, if they're just milling and rolling and happy and not getting pressured, I mean, you know, I'll still stay on the trolling motor because it's quiet and go out and do the same semicircle and come right back and position myself in front of them and let them come to me.
Now, I'm hearing that a lot this year, how critical it is to be able to judge the path of movement and to be able to get in front of the fish, get set up, get your stuff, you know, in place if you're doing bait, have your lures ready if you're going to throw lures, and let the fish come up to you. It seems that's been key this year to being successful.
Yeah, and they've actually really been cooperating quite well this year, to be honest with you. We've always got somebody that's going to pursue them from the backside, you know, that's gonna drive them to you, because there's so many boats in front. Once everybody gets set where they want, you know, it's kind of like odd man out. Now this guy's going to come in from the backside and try to pitch into the backside of them, which I'm not saying you won't ever hook up that way, but I guarantee you it's probably a good 5-to-1 that you're going to hook up if you're in front of them.
Well, you know, that's kind of like critical need-to-know information. I mean, to go to Tremors 2, and, you know, Bert's getting out of the truck, and if he would have known that these things had morphed, he would have had more ammo, you know? But, yes, I do. I'm weird. I can't help
but it.
But,
you know, that's what's working for us. And even, you know, this year they've... Well, I guess every year. I mean, they get finicky on what they're wanting to eat, and they'll shut down. I mean, they'll roll next to the boat. You know, they'll come up, they'll smile, they'll, you know, take great pictures, but they won't eat nothing.
They're just showing you that last fin.
Right. And it's just that one in the middle.
Yeah.
But they.
I didn't know tarpon had a middle fin until I was a charter boat captain. Yeah. Yeah. They definitely have a middle fin.
They use it well.
Yes.
But you know, once they turn on, it's a feeding frenzy, and it's their decision. But you know, it seems like when they get to that finicky point. I mean, we've been throwing thread fins, you know, and they're 6-8 inch thread fins.
Now, when you toss the thread fin out, under normal circumstances, I'm always telling people vary it up. Now, are you just straight out freelining, or using floats? What's going on, or do you mix it on the beginning?
If we're fishing, you know, on a school fish, We mix up. I've got one guy that's just free line. I've got one that's weighted down just a little bit, because with that current out there by the pass, you know, it's not really going to sink to the bottom, but it's going to take him down maybe 6-8 feet and hold him right there on the drift. And that seems to be, you know, once you figure out where they're feeding or where their happy spot
so
is to eat.
You've got a free line, you got a float, you got one with a little bit of weight on it.
Yep.
You know, and I tell people all the time, I'm really happy to hear you, that this is what you have to do. Figure out what the fish want, not how you want to fish for them.
Yeah.
And you're going to be successful. And you obviously are. I mean, you do a ton of tarpon trips. Now, if you're going to do lures, is there a difference in what you do?
Lure-wise, you know, I stick soft plastics. You know, Storm this year has been, you know, something you kind of turned me on to, and I went out and tried it, and it handles great. You know, it's easy to cast into the wind.
Yeah, we're bringing back, I got a bunch of boxes. I'm hoping all the power baits are in there. Because
yeah.
Everybody's crying for the power bait to get that little more scent. With the Storm lure, it seems like we got to scent them up a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, we're you know, I scent everything I put in the water artificial. You know, whether that is the critical key missing piece, puzzle, whatever you want to call it. But it definitely seems to help.
I don't bother with women and kids because I just have them, you know, do their thing in the line as long as they're not full of suntan oil. But with guys, it's almost absolute. You almost got to do it. When you're trying this hard to catch a fish, you have to get your smell off. I really don't care which smell I put on. Some are better than others, but I'm looking to get the human smell off.
Right.
That's my big thing. Now, you said when you get around, you get in front of them, and you throw your baits out. I understand that. Now, when you get in front of the fish and you're getting ready to throw lures, do you have them hold the lures, or do you have them start casting long before the fish get there? Or
no, I have them start casting long before the fish get there. Because when you see that, when you're seeing that black ball, you're seeing the majority of the fish, but you're not seeing all the fish.
So
you've got leaders, you've got followers, you've got schools.
So you're looking for the ones that aren't in the tight wad as much as
well,
in that
you wanna,
take any of
you
them.
You want to get that opportunity because there are fish that are leading that school. I mean, so, you know, to wait for the fish to get in your casting range and then start casting to them, no. I mean, it's a waste of an opportunity, I feel. Start casting, keep casting. That school's moving towards you, keep casting. You may pick out, you know, that one rogue that, you know, everybody's looking for, that 200-pounder. You don't know. But it seems like the bigger fish are the ones that are traveling in front.
Well, that's cool. That is excellent information. And you heard it right here on Radio Fishing. Imagine, we got something good on the show for once. I mean, real information. You guys said, you know, if you have a heart attack, I can recommend the Heart Center. My dad's up there now. You know, they're taking good care of him. So, you know, if this really freaked you out the way it did me, you know, it's right up the street. But, yeah, Dad had one of those stents.
Oh, did he?
Where
did he go in?
Friday morning. And he went in yesterday morning. Never told a soul.
Never told anybody, huh?
Not a soul.
That's your dad.
My sister called me and said, "Do you know your dad's up in the hospital?" I'm like, "No." You go up to the hospital. What the hell's wrong with you? Yeah, that's my dad.
That's him.
Yeah. So anyway, but back to the information part. I do want to touch on something else for a minute. You have a line of rods you build.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Tell me about the line of rods, because we're going to be a retailer for you, aren't
we? Yes, you are. Your rods are going to be here probably middle of this coming week. What it is it's I've teamed up with the good folks at American Tackle, and we're doing a series line of microwave rods. It has really changed the way you know, castability, weight. I mean, I throw a lot of artificial when I'm doing snook, you know, trout,
and
redfish.
And this is not an average angler rod. Now,
no.
I built rods. Fish and Franks has their own line of rods, and I went the other part. I went the average guy, throwing bait, a little bit of lures, and your rods are downright gorgeous, and they're extremely lightweight, extremely long cast, and this is for the guy who really loves to throw a lure.
Yeah, I mean, these are ideal for working the flats. I mean, if you're a bone fisherman, I mean, even if you're fishing a lightweight shrimp, I mean, I've got a prominent business owner in this area who's just contacted me with that problem. You know, I go bone fishing, I can't get a light shrimp, you know, far enough to hook up on these fish, and
right.
Bone fish are very spooky.
Yeah.
And, you know, I brought them over, and I I showed him what I do and how we do it, and we demoed a few, and you know, he ordered six.
That's perfect.
I mean, just right off, right there.
But this is what I mean. These are, you know, and I hate to say the term exclusive, but it's not really exclusive. I mean, they're good for almost anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But for the person who really needs a specific use rod, really needs something that, okay, I'm on the flats and I'm fishing these fish that are way over there, or this or that or the next thing, this is the line of rod you made.
Right. And you know, I had a lot of bass anglers, because that's what I used to do. I used to do a lot of bass tournaments. I had guys come to me and say, you know, we leave the dock, we've got 12 rods strapped to our deck, and I'm wondering if there's not a way to take these three rods, the three things, the reason I use these rods, and come up with a rod that will do the best of all three, or even the best of two, because now you're cutting down on gear.
Right.
And
now that bass angler must have had a psychotic episode. Because every bass angler I've seen, the more rods he has laid out, the better.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to go there, but I mean, to have a bass angler said, like a couple less rods in my boat,
yeah,
there seems like there might be something wrong with him.
You would think.
You know, maybe he just had this, he was at a restaurant, a little too much cappuccino, and next thing you know, he had a shot of tequila, and his brain took a haywire.
I don't know.
I'm sorry, my mind is a little, you know, I need to put a filter in there, don't I? I mean, there should be something in there that just says, you know, Frank, shut up, you know. But
you know, Frank unfiltered, I don't think I could tolerate that guy. No, keep it coming, keep it straight. But yeah. No, he, matter of fact, we're sitting here right now, and he just sends me a picture, and it says, Reaper stuck, and he's showing me about a 9-pound bass on that rod that I made for him this weekend, and he's in hog heaven. I mean, he cannot believe that how light this is, and it's made for a cast, you know, a bait caster.
Right.
I do both, microwave for spinning, microwave for casting.
And nowadays,
the difference in weight.
I mean, we sell the EXOs and Smoke and several other brands, and these ultralight, the Revos and all that,
mm-hmm.
and the weight that you can get off. And I know I need to exercise, and I've got to start exercising, but I'm sorry, throwing a heavy rod and reel all day, and it's become, I mean, with the Smoke and the CI4s and the Fluger stuff and all these reels, and now Penn's starting to catch on a little bit, and they brought out that Conflict, and it's a nice light reel. It's not light like some of them are, but you're saving $100, and you know, you still got a couple extra ounces, but you still save $100 over the price of most of them.
It's like you said, even with the rods, you know, you've got your production rod, so to speak,
right?
And then you've got your your upper echelon rod. Well, same thing with reels. I mean, you know, some of these carbon fiber reels now, you can't treat them like the old bulletproof reels we used to use.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean,
you're going to sacrifice the weight. You're also going to sacrifice, you know, some of the structure, but you have to take care of them. You got to maintain them.
Right. Now, the Battle, the Symmetry, Bag of Rocks, Tough. You know, the mm-hmm. Penn Battle and the Shimano Symmetry are two really durable reels, $100 reels. You know, you're in that middle price, and then you get into, like you say, the long grain carbons that are just amazing now. But they are a little lighter. I just sold a whole package. We've been outfitting a lot of boats recently, and the sustain, the guy found one of his sustains a little chip off the back of it. It's, you know, you really got to watch them reels.
Yeah.
You know, they're tough.
Yeah,
so
yeah, you just can't bang them like we used to. You can't, you know, just toss them in the back of the truck or back of the boat. I mean,
well, that's why I still have the Symmetry in the Battle, you know, and a couple of mine.
You know.
I've got my OK throw in the back of the truck rods, you know, and I've got the other ones. But when you get into this stuff, it's literally past average angler. This is for the guy who is doing something special. He's looking for a rod to do this with.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you went into. And I'm looking forward to getting the rods in. I'm looking forward to, you know, getting out and actually working with them. So what's the name of the rod series?
It's Reaper Rods.
Reaper Rods. Okay, I can remember that.
You know, as I get older, I don't have to remember 16 different names, so.
I actually, yeah, I'm reducing a lot of stuff that I've actually added to it. And this board, our little board that we've become used to in front of us, is on its last days. I just got in our new board, with the phone hookup, so we're going to be talking to you while you're on the water on charters. You know, little quick things about where the fish are and how it's fishing. We're going to be getting fishing reports from you on the water, so that's going to be pretty cool.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, and I'm putting that board in next week. As you see, we got it's you can actually move in here.
I noticed that. I thought it was somebody else's store for a second.
Yeah, well, this side is still a little bad, but once I get this side cleaned up, I got to get, you know, some of this stuff a little more range, and I got to put a new space for my board here, and we're redoing all the mics and getting everything and hooking the phones up to it. So, yeah, you're going to be bothered, you know, when you get out and you have a little bit of extra time, you're going to be calling me, and we're going to set up and do some radio fishing right off the water.
That'd be great.
So, anyway, this is Captain Tim Johnson. Any other tricks or tips you want to share with anybody?
No, you know, pay attention to them. I mean, pay attention to the people around you. I mean, yesterday, you know, perfect example. You know, we had been doing great for 3 days, and then we hit a rock where it just, we couldn't get them to eat. You know, and another guide that, you know, I look up to in this area, he figured it out. I mean, He needed white bait all of a sudden. He needed something a little bit smaller. And it's no, you know, you think about it logically, or, you know, for me it's logical. You know, when we did jigs in the past and stuff over the years, we'd start out with, you know, a 4-inch tail, and we did great. But when that bite got tight and tough, you know, a lot of us would switch to a 3-inch, put something smaller on there, and it would start the bite over again. And, you know, you figure you're throwing somebody's lunch out in front of them, they're going to eat it. I mean, it's what they eat. But
if you're not that hungry,
there was a difference in the side. The only thing I can think of was our bait was just too big, because we hooked up once, he hooked up 5 times in the same time frame, and the only thing that was different was the size of the bait.
Now, I've been telling people, they all want this big bait, get a big shrimp, get a big this, get a big that, and I'm sorry, but if you walk up to, say you're at a party and you go up, and there's turkey legs there, and there's sandwiches and all the rest of that, and then you look over, you got some sweet pickles and olive and, you know, little things of chocolate or something, and you might pick up 3, 4, or 5 of those little things before you decide on which sandwich you want or what main menu.
Yep, yep.
And people tend to forget that. I've always believed kind of creatures are creatures, whether they're human or fish or animals, they all seem to have that same pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, well, I was throwing this and they don't like it. I said, well, do you like Italian food? And they said, yeah. I said, do you stop at every Italian restaurant you see? Yep. No. But when you want it, you want it.
You want it.
That's
that,
great
that,
advice.
I said, I think, you know, it's the bite does slow down and they stop eating, and it's just like every other fish, you know, that I've fished. You know, it's, you know, trout will hit first thing in the morning are great, and last thing at the end of the day, and then you know, during when it's hot out.
I was wondering what the noise was. It's the air conditioner. Did you notice we have AC and everything now?
I noticed that.
We're not sweating bullets in the dust. You know? It used to be somebody comes, they sit down in a chair, and the dust would come off the chair, and where they just kind of hang over you, and come the sweat rivulets would clear off the dust on you. I mean, see, we're getting uptown.
Uptown?
Yes, indeedies, folks. We're going to be right uptown now. Yeah, you can't get there from here.
Put a cement pond out back?
Yeah, that's it. I'd love to, man. I've been looking at that alley here. We got that little alleyway, and I keep thinking, man, a casting tank in that thing so I could teach people how to use lures.
I tell you.
I've always wanted to do that. And
well, what I'm going to do, and you let me know when it's good for you, and I mean, I'll even train a couple of guys here to do it. But we do what's called a microwave challenge with these rods. I have two identical rods, two identical reels. One is conventionally guided, one is microwave guided. And you'll see the difference and you'll feel the difference. And it's an amazing thing, because we do these shows and the guys are always on the fence, or, you know, I don't need to throw that. And I've thrown rods all my life. Just try it. I mean, I brought Captain Kale to my house, designing a rod for him, because once again, I like this, how this one feels, I like the strength of this one, but I like the action of this one. And we took his reel and we put it on one of my rods, and you know, my canal is 150 feet across, and he was in my neighbor's grass. Now, that was a baitcaster. I mean,
wow.
That's the difference. There is no you know, fighting that line anymore.
Well, that's cool. And that's what we're doing, and that's they're going to be Real Reaper rods. They will be here soon. So by the time you hear this and decide, well, you know, and we're going to try and have one that we can figure out some place to cast. I just don't have room to cast them, but we'll work it out.
Definitely.
But yeah, I got to, you know, you can tell the difference between two of us. My canal's like 8.5 feet wide. You know,
that's because you got 20 feet of boats back there.
But I have a pirate ship. So anyway, Captain Tim Johnson, tell everybody your phone number.
My number is area code 239-253-1702.
Okay, 239-253-1702. 1702, and you still have a few openings, not many, but a few.
Filling up, yes. Yes, it's tarpon right here, and the weather is finally getting good. Let's go fishing.
Sounds like a good idea. Anyway, this is Fish and Frank, and in the chair across from me, Johnson, and... Of course, everybody's got to say, yes, they were happy you were here. What a great job you did.
And what a great audience.
Thanks for all the advice. And that was really cool. I really enjoyed the how-to on the tarpon fishing. But anyway, Fish and Frank, we'll be back with another radio fishing as soon as we can. We're going to try and get on a regular schedule and get the phone hooks up and get more reports from on the water. We've got a lot of cool things planned. And thanks for hanging in there with us. This is Fish and Frank. Bye-bye.